He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I believe it's the second week of spring. I thought I'd come back to birds chirping, flowers budding, instead of the usual snow flurries north and west of the city. I heard Bill Evans. No, I'm saying that the sun is about to leap out there. I'm looking up. I'm seeing a bullet gray sky.
Yeah.
Pretty grim, I have to say. And grim, too, the news that I missed. My condolences, first of all, to those affected by that massive blast down in my old Lower East Side neighborhood. Sorry I wasn't around to report on it, the tragic explosion. It claimed the lives of two New Yorkers. One was just a customer in the restaurant.
23-year-old Nicholas Figueroa was on a date, a first date, with a woman at the sushi restaurant. And yesterday, the family, the Figueroa family, was summoned to the medical examiner's office. It was an awful scene. You saw them walk out. And here was the family spokesman that, you know, confirmed that it was their son that was in the rubble.
Very close, the most beautiful family you could ever meet. I mean, you would be like, wow, what an amazing family. And mom and dad has done everything for these kids. And he had just graduated from college.
And the other was an employee at that same restaurant, 26-year-old Moises Lacone.
That was a Guatemalan kid.
Yeah.
Probably an undocumented immigrant slaving away in the kitchen, trying to make a living for his family. Snuffed out. Snuffed out. I live right down 7th Street from the disaster. I used to live between A and B on 7th. My brother Craig lived a block away on 2nd Avenue at St. Mark's Place. And the investigation, as I understand it, is pointing to a combination of, I guess, tenants illegally tapping into the neighbor's gas line and this Bronx-based contractor, Deber Kukic, not using licensed techs. Is that right? Licensed plumbers?
That's part of it. And then we're also hearing that they just didn't call the authorities in time, that they smelled gas. And instead of calling the utility, they called one of the people who owned the building to tell them about it.
Well, the investigation's continuing, folks. That's Noam Layden. I'm Geraldo. I'm glad to be back here as the Ides of March wind down. I just wanted to express my belated condolences to the people affected by that explosion, that tragic blast. And I know, you know, reading the tabloids when I got home over the weekend, I see how many of you are outraged by the selfie-obsessed tourists, I guess, have been using this tragedy as scenery for their snapshots. I'm not as hard on them as many of you. I understand more than most, I guess, the impulse to want to be part of something others are talking about. And is it really that different when you think about it from reporters who put themselves in front of the fire or the volcanic eruption or the flood to give their learned commentaries? I don't know. In time, I think manners will evolve and catch up with technology. In the meantime, I think it's a good idea to limit selfies to stupid stuff like nude shots taken late at night while drunk on tequila.
Well, exactly.
That caused real tension in the Rivera family. Real tension again in our Mishbucha. This weekend, as my beloved Arizona Wildcats took on the Badgers of Wisconsin in the Elite Eight of the NCAA Basketball Championships, Erica went to Wisconsin. I went to the U of A. You know, like most of the basketball games, I mean, I'm not like a great fan, but I am involved enough in March Madness that I dig it. But I tell you, Noam, these games, close, hard-fought, they really, really are terrific. I mean, Erica's alma mater won in this case, but what a great game.
Were you secretly, though, rooting for Wisconsin? Because you knew if Arizona won, that meant, well, you know, you might be alone for the night. This way you got to celebrate with your wife, which is a whole lot more fun.
Yeah, right. She felt sorry for me. So now Wisconsin, Erica's Wisconsin plays Kentucky, the undefeated team, just beat Notre Dame. That was another great game. Notre Dame did such a fabulous job. Michigan State took on Louisville. You forget that Louisville's also in Kentucky. So you had two of the great basketball teams in the country come from the state of Kentucky. Anyway, Louisville now out. Kentucky plays Duke. All happens in Indianapolis, maybe. Indianapolis hosting the Final Four this coming weekend. At least it's currently scheduled to be held in Indianapolis. If the NCAA doesn't pull the tournament from the Hoosier State or do something else to limit or punish the state of Indiana for its self-inflicted wound. This new law that prohibits any law that substantially burdens a person's ability to follow his and her religious beliefs. Say what? It just, if you own a bakery, in other words, under the new Indiana law, and you don't want to bake a cake for gay people getting married or gay people celebrating anything, you don't have to. You don't have to bake the cake for them with this new Indiana law. Even if there's a law on the books that prevents discrimination against gay people, this law prevents any law from infringing on your so-called religious rights not to be involved in baking a cake for a gay couple. I mean, is this sound remotely fair? Even if you're a religious person, even if you're a devout Catholic, even if you're a devout whatever it is, fill in the blank. And your religion tells you that you don't have to have anything or should not have anything to do with these people. What if your religion said that you shouldn't have anything to do with black people or Jews or Catholics? I mean, that's what the Jim Crow era laws allowing businesses to refuse service to those people. That's what those laws were all about. Those weren't protecting the shopkeeper's civil rights. Those were laws that allowed you to discriminate. This Indiana law allows the Hoosier state to discriminate against gay people. I mean, you wonder why everyone is pissed off about Indiana and Mike Pence, the governor who was thought of as a presidential candidate, or at least a guy who could be the vice president of the United States. I mean, that ship has sailed, ladies and gentlemen. Gays are now a protected class. I mean, to carve out a right to discriminate against gays is illegal. And unless the Supreme Court chickens out, I'm telling you, if the Supreme Court decides to regress to the 19th century on the issue of gay marriage, I think discrimination against gays in any form is soon going to be unconstitutional in this country. Illegal and unconstitutional. And Mike Pence, the Indiana governor who engineered this odious new law that's causing his state all these problems, I mean, he's striking out at the critics. He says that this avalanche of intolerance that's been pouring on our state is just outrageous. That's what Governor Pence, the guy who signed into law this Indiana statute that allows discrimination against gay people. That's what he said. It's an avalanche of intolerance. Here's Pence.
Yes or no? If a florist in Indiana refuses to serve a gay couple at their wedding, is that legal now in Indiana?
George, this is where this debate has gone with misinformation and frankly,
it's just a question, sir. Yes so, or no?
Well, there's been shameless rhetoric about my state and about this law and about its intention.
Bull. Absolute crap. Absolute crap. Stephanopoulos, George Stephanopoulos, was right to nail Pence, who never answered the question, you notice. He talks about an avalanche of intolerance, and this guy has just created a law. He's just created a law that allows you to discriminate against gay people. Here's more from the governor.
That was one of your supporters who was talking about the bill right there. It said it would protect a Christian florist against any kind of punishment. Is that true or not?
George, look, the issue here is, you know, is tolerance a two-way street or not?
What a punk. He's a punk. Mike Pence is a punk. I'm not in favor of boycotts, but I'm reminded how Governor Jim Brewer of Arizona, remember, Nome, she vetoed a similar state law, a law that was very, very much like Indiana's, and Governor Brewer, who I have my own problems with, she vetoed the law because she feared that Arizona would lose the Super Bowl because there was all the noise about boycotting the Super Bowl. I predict the NCAA, starting today, is going to ratchet up the pressure on Indiana. The Final Four is coming up. It's going to be an interesting sideshow, but here's my main point. This is a self-inflicted wound on Indiana. Indiana created this controversy. They passed this law, and now they're dealing with the consequences of their own hubris. This is exactly what's wrong with the Republican Party. They never learn. The GOP now had momentum in the last couple of weeks. Hillary's embattled over the email gate and all that. So now you have one of the champions of the Republican Party do absolutely something stupid like this. You create a law that says you can discriminate against gay people. Did Indiana really need that law? Was this something that was a high priority for Indiana voters? I submit to you that it was a couple of crazed activists from the far right who decided that they had the power, they could probably pass it. They could probably pass a similar law in Wisconsin if they wanted to, until the federal courts will move against them. So why do you do something like that? Why do you do something stupid like that? Why do you do something counterproductive like that? There's only one way to save the Republican Party in time for the 2016 elections. Bush 45. He's the only grown-up in the Republican Party at the national level. You nominate one of these knuckleheads like Scott Walker, this is all you're going to see. Laws against the stupid things. Laws that try to bring you back to the dark ages. If you feel differently, or if you back me, 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. Nice to be home.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
We got some groundbreaking performances here, too, tonight. We got Bruce Jenner will be here doing some musical performances. He's doing a his and her duet all by himself.
Oh,
look,
Jamie
I'm
Fox.
Just busting your balls.
Yeah, you're busting while your I balls, busting can. Your own
Give
balls.
It up!
Jamie Foxx making a transphobic joke, a Bruce Jenner joke. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Making jokes?
Yeah. No, how about
it's
about
Bruce Jenner.
Transgender? Yeah. Transgender.
I have two friends
transgender.
That went. I have two friends. One that went from being a man to a woman, and one that went being from a woman to a man, which doesn't happen as often. And it's definitely the relationships are strange. I mean, I get along with them very well, but it's very odd because I knew them as their former self.
Yeah, but I wonder, it is sort of like a Jewish joke, though, or an Irish joke. I mean, you got to be, I'm not one of those politically correct people. I mean, you grow up in Brooklyn and Long Island, you know, you tell jokes that are off color. And
sure.
Then times change. I saw a Chevy Chase and a Richard Pryor on an old clip of Saturday Night Live. They were using language that would get them arrested today, and that was only in the 1970s. But times have changed. That's my point. Times have changed. We've evolved as a people. You no longer can discriminate against somebody because you want to. I mean, if you're in business, I don't know if you have a private club, that's different. If you have a private club and you only want to admit people that are 5'10", you know, God bless, go ahead, admit people that are 5'10". But once you open your doors to the public, once you do business, you know, I think you've got to follow the law. And the law is you've got to toe the line. You've got to treat people with dignity and respect, give them equal access to your services. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in business.
Yeah, no matter who they are.
And to couch it as religious freedom, I think is preposterous. Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne.
Oh, hi. Is this Geraldo?
Yes, and you're my first caller on my return to work, and I am delighted to have you on board.
I disagree with you, Geraldo. My first question is, are you a very deeply religious man at all?
I am. No. I'm not a deeply religious person. I'm a deeply spiritual person, but I have, in many ways, agnostic tendencies. I cherish my Catholic roots on my dad's side and my Jewish roots on my mom's side. I embrace organized religion for what it does to strengthen families and help children, but I can't say that I expect the seas to part for me.
Yeah. Well, I am, and people, many, many people are very religious and non-religious, actually, are very, very touchy about ceremonies in general. And, you know, there are people that won't even go into certain churches for certain reasons. This really isn't about denying gays hamburgers or gas. This is about the forced, unwanted involvement in gay wedding ceremonies.
Okay, Ann, stop right there. Now, what if everything you just said was said 30 years ago, and instead of gay, you had black in there? What if you really felt deep in your life, in your heart, in your bones, in your sincere soul, that black people or brown people or, yellow people or red people or Jewish people, or we're in some way different than you, and you didn't want to have anything to do with them, and you had a business.
Geraldo, let's be realistic. We all know that this law is not about going to be about denying gays hamburgers or gas. This is about the unwanted forced involvement in gay wedding ceremonies. People are very, very touchy about involvement in ceremonies in general. I know of people that won't even attend a wedding ceremony in a certain, because it's in a certain church. And it's all
but your rights to do and be with anyone you want. That's your right. But it is my right as a consumer of a service to know that I walk into a place and I'm going to be treated like every other customer for that service.
So you ignore, totally ignore the religious feelings or
you can't hide intolerance behind religion. You really can't.
But in this country. This isn't about intolerance. Again, it's about...
Well, here, Crash, punch in Mike. Let Mike join Ann and me in this conversation. Mike, welcome. You've been listening to Ann. What do you say to her?
Firstly, Geraldo, thanks for having me. I'm somewhat of a civil libertarian, but... And I do want you to know I'm a Republican. I just want to preface it by saying that. However, you know, it's a thin, fine line. You have a business that is in business for profit. And, you know, I have been in business, and if I'm wanting to sell, whether it's widgets or cakes for ceremonies, I want to sell to as many people as possible. But on the flip side of that, you have people with strong religious convictions who don't want to participate in certain ceremonies.
All right, so like you agree with Ann or not, Mike?
Well, somewhat I do, and here's what I do want to say. It's a slippery slope because, you know, tax-exempt status is given to churches throughout this country. Are we someday going to be in a situation where, for example, the Catholic Church is told, you know what, unless you perform gay ceremonies, you can't have that status any longer? And so, you know, you have to balance it with...
Well, that's kind of a leap.
How many cases out there really have been brought forth? I truly
there's going to be plenty of them, believe me.
There hasn't been up to now, so I kind of find it very hard to believe. I would honestly put forth that out of probably 100 bakers out there, there may be one or two strictly religious that would refuse to do this. This has been blown totally out of proportion.
If you think it's been blown out of proportion so far, Ann, and I appreciate your call. You're a smart lady.
Hey, Geraldo.
Okay, and let Mike have the last word. Go ahead. Thank you, Ann.
No, I do want to say this. As someone who's run businesses, I would want to sell as many cakes to as many people as possible, regardless.
Well, Mike, as a Republican. Hold on. You identified yourself as a libertarian Republican. Don't you think this is going to hurt the Republican Party?
I do, because of the way it's being portrayed by people like yourself, to be honest with you.
There
is another side of this, and that's all I'm asking people
to figure it out.
For example, Geraldo...
What's this breaking news? What is this, Crash? What is this with the NSA in Washington?
Geraldo.
All right, Mike, I got to let you go. I want to find out that there's some kind of incident, a shooting incident at the National Security Administration in D.C. I don't want to give you any information that I can't confirm, but, Noam, you're checking it out? Let's get the wires. Let's see what is happening. Is apparently some incident, a violent incident in Washington, D.C., and you know how touchy everybody is in these terrible... And troubled times. All right, let me put on here and see what's going on.
I can give you a little bit of detail.
Go ahead, tell me. What do you got?
Gunfire heard after a vehicle rammed the gates of the NSA agency in Fort Meade. That's in Maryland. One person appears to have died at the scene of the attack, another injured.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO. 77 WABC.
Welcome back. 37 minutes after 10 o'clock. It is delightful to be back. It's been too long. It's been a week. You know, I had a great time in Puerto Rico. It's a wonderful, wonderful place after having visited Grandma in South Florida. You know, it's... thank you for asking. I mean, a lot of people have. My mom's 95 years old, and we're in a situation like a lot of you know, we're living longer. I mean, I'm in my 70s now. My mom is, you know, 95, and she fell, and that's what put her in the hospital. And then she, as she was healing in the hospital, she fell again because she got up, and she's very spunky and rambunctious, and she tried to be independent. She fell, and she broke. You know, so first she had a hip replacement, which is astonishing to me that she survived that with elan. You know, she did terrifically. And then during the rehab process, she fell again because she was too ambitious. But then she was in the hospital, in Sarasota Hospital, which is a wonderful hospital. You know, my dad was there in his time, like 28 years ago. She was there for 6 weeks. And then, you know, what are you going to do? You can't keep her in the hospital, and yet she can't get up to, you know, do the necessaries. And she needs, you know, two people to help her. And so we wanted to, I promised my mom I'd never put her in a nursing home or an extended care facility like that. But they begged me there at the hospital to check out this one place on the bay, a beautiful, they call it a club. And Craig was down there, my brother Craig, and thank God he was there, and he checked it out. And he said, Geraldo, this is like a seaside resort. It's not like a nursing home. Most of it is covered by the various programs, and, you know, we'll make up the difference. And it, but that struggle, though, that, you know, that quandary, it's so easy to put them in a place like a nursing home. And having exposed all those nursing homes and institutions, you know, during the day, I worry about what happens late at night when she needs someone, and are there going to be kind people there? Is she going to, you know, is she going to be able to leave there? Because that's the only kind of emotional justification for being there, is if it's transitory. You're going to pass through and get home someday. Because I promised her, you know, whatever happens, it's going to happen in her own home. But I mean, it was so torturous in a way, so conflicting dealing with that issue. How do you deal with your elderly parents? And I'm sure that a lot of people listening right now are going through the same thing. I don't want to change the topic to that. I just want you to know that it is something. I don't care who you are, there will come a time, if you're lucky enough, and that's really, I mean, my mom's in her 90s, I'm in my 70s, you know, that's the miracle of our age.
Yeah,
that's going to be more and more common going forward. You see 60 Minutes yesterday, now they're using polio to cure cancer. I mean, imagine if they beat cancer now.
It's unbelievable.
You know, it's you're going to have people in their 90s, and what do you do with your parents? You know, again, fortunately, we're in a position where we can supplement any, you know, wherever the government fails. But even there's a social safety net that can keep people alive. But you want to stay engaged. You want to stay involved in your family's life and your elderly parents', you know, continued existence. But it is a, you know, a humbling. It is, that's the word. It's a humbling situation, phenomenon. You know, making those life choices when it's your own, it's one thing to intellectualize it. For instance, you can intellectualize. I'm going to get back to the Indiana law momentarily, and I appreciate, you know, everyone's calling, the lines are jammed at 866 or although I appreciate that. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily. But, you know, it's one thing to say, for example, my mom just got a hip replacement. So she's 95 years old. She just got a hip replacement. I don't have any idea what that cost, you know, because it was prescribed, it's covered. She's 95. She's earned it, worked all her life. My mom and my dad did, you know, and any shortcoming I cover. But remember when they were talking about rationing care, when they were talking about, when Sarah Palin was talking about death panels that were going to say about Obamacare, well, Obamacare goes so far, but we're not going to cover, you're 95 years old. What are you going to do with the new hip? You're going to play in the NCAA Final Four? You know, it is an interesting ethical discussion until it becomes your family. Of course you want the damn hip replacement.
Right.
You know, of course you want to give her the best shot. Even if she lives 3 more months or 3 more years, whatever it is, you want her to have the best shot. But it is a fascinating emotional roller coaster, and that whole issue of super senior care going forward is going to be something that we'll be talking about all the time in this country. It's going to be an enormous drain on the federal budget, on the resources of individual families. But life is going to be expanding. I mean, you see the magazine cover a couple of weeks ago. This child could live to be 130, yeah. 140. It's going to be an interesting
situation. But you know,
interesting
to me, but as I watch it with my in-laws, and I see it up close in the same sort of situation you're going through with your mom, is that the medical profession or all those services fail us more times, unfortunately, than I think they reward us. And it's so frustrating because, as your mom did, she took care of you, and you want to take care of her in the same way she did with you. And you can't rely on those. I know this horrible thing to say. There's a lot of great people in the industry, I'm sure. But I've seen a lot of the awful side of it. And with money to pay for it. You know what I mean?
Right. And what happens when it's the graveyard shift on, I use that advisedly, on a, on a Saturday night? So now it's 2 in the morning on Saturday. Who knows who the person caring for.
And they don't pay them, by the way.
And they
get paid next to nothing to be in there. Yeah.
It's a interesting topic. Forgive me for indulging myself in musing about it, but it obviously is something that is on my mind in a big way. But I know that what is on the mind of many people is whether or not the NCAA should do something to punish the state of Indiana for the passage of this odious law. I know that many of you believe in religious freedom, but you can't have religious freedom at the cost of intolerance. I wish there was some way that the baker, if the baker sincerely believed something and that belief was, you know, acting on the belief was constitutional, that the faith could be honored at the same time the law is followed. The problem is that this is a country of equal access and equal rights. And we went through, we're celebrating now the 150th anniversary coming up of the end of the Civil War. 150 years. I mean, in some ways, we're still fighting the damn thing. 150 years for the surrender at the Appomattox, that's how you say it, courthouse.
Appomattox.
Appomattox Courthouse. General Robert E. Lee surrenders to Ulysses S. Grant, Appomattox Courthouse. And then, you know, in April, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln because someone thought that he was a tyrant. Because the tyrant was going to give the vote to the Negroes. I mean, just so that was, he was a tyrant because he was going to give the vote to black people to free the slaves who were, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation freed them. He was going to give them rights as American citizens and all the gas he got, and he got killed behind it. I mean, isn't this gay thing in Indiana, isn't that part of the same struggle for equal rights? You know, isn't it, if you assume, as I do, that the debate is meaningfully over, that a person's gayness has now been recognized or is in the process of being formalized as an absolute right, in the same way that, you know, a black or brown or Jewish or Protestant or Catholic or blah, blah, whatever you happen to be, tall, short, Native American, whatever you are, that you have the same right of access. I mean, I think that these things are fait accompli. I think that they are done. And I think what Indiana is trying to do here with this rear guard action and cunningly couching it in the clothing of religious freedom. It's not about the religious freedom of the baker. It's about the right of the gay person to be treated in the same way as an ungay person is treated. And I think that where there is a doubt, where those two powerful forces are in conflict, you have to go, because this is a country that is a secular country, constitutionally. Religion is no part. You have the freedom to be whatever religion you want, but your religion cannot be imposed on me. That's what the founding fathers established. They established a secular, democratic country where everybody has to be treated equally, where all men are created equal, even gay ones. So I think that what Indiana is doing is mischief. And I'm going to get back to your calls, and I promise you we'll deal with it a lot in the rest of the program, at the top of the hour in particular, and we'll keep going with your calls because I know there's this intense interest. But you can't use the language of religious freedom to deny access
to someone that you disapprove of. That's just not the American way. It is 47, and I know that there are many of you, if not most of you, listening right now, who disagree with me. I understand that, but believe me, my voice is the voice of the future, if it's not the voice of the present. And the Republican Party, woe unto them if they don't get that fact, that a party, despite whatever its proclivities may be, cannot impose its will on the people of this country. It's just illegal, unconstitutional, un-American, and over. I just had a brain fart. I was thinking about the pilot in that German Wings flight. Right. I don't know what the hell I was doing. It was just like, I got to get my my game face back on. But I was thinking about the passengers. You know, we saw the picture. That's what I was watching, the relatives who had gone to the Alps to be closer to the scene of the outrageous disaster, and thinking about the people on board that plane, and imagine what the relatives are thinking about their children on board that plane that co-pilot is, who apparently was treated for suicidal tendencies, it turns out, as he was putting that plane into the mountain, what those passengers on board must have felt like. It was like a 13 minutes. I mean, imagine that.
And for sure, for the last few minutes, they had to know what was going on because he had a hatchet in his hand, the pilot, trying to knock down the door. And you think, I think about the parents who were waiting for their kids to come home from that exchange program, waiting for them, having had not seen them for a little while, how excited they must have been to think that their kids were on this plane coming home. It's just awful.
Gil in the Bronx. Hey, Gil. Gil's calling about our topic du jour. Believe it or not, we have one. It is the Indiana law. We just heard some state legislators in Indiana saying they're going to clarify the law somehow, that it was not intended to discriminate against gay people, but I doubt if they're going to put the language in the law, this law cannot be used to discriminate against gay people. So, Gil, what's on your mind?
Well, I don't agree in discrimination of any kind towards anybody, but I also think that people should not have to defer their conscience to the government. I run a business, and there are certain people that I just do not want to deal with.
Like who? Tell me who. Who's your personal, offending consumer?
Well, just people who don't appreciate what I'm doing. Because sometimes people are very boisterous, and I can see a problem before it's happening, and I just do not want to get involved.
So what kind of business is it? Just broad strokes. I don't want to identify you.
Excuse me?
Well, just broad strokes. What kind of business do you run?
Oh, it's an automobile repair.
And so people come in and they give you a hard time and you say, hey, listen, take your business elsewhere?
Yeah, I don't want
to
get involved.
But listen to this, Gil. If it's based on their boisterousness, that's totally legal. If it's gay, based on the fact that they're gay, that's not legal.
Well, I don't care if they're gay or not, me personally. But I would like to know other businesses who feel that way. As a black man, traveling to North Carolina some years ago, stopping to get gas, and casually go into the store and just made a comment, oh, it looks like it's going to be a good day today. And the attendant told me, I suggest you just get your gas and go on down the road. Well, I wish I had known that before I gave him $100 worth of gasoline.
I agree. Now imagine if you were today, that same exact fact pattern, and you were gay instead of black, and the guy said the same thing. How would you respond? I'm sure that you would respond in a very harsh way.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
What do you do when you get lonely? I was waiting by your side. You've been running, hiding much too long. You know it's just your foolish pride. Got me on my knees.
Eric Clapton's birthday. Great song, great guitar player. We've had a spirited morning here on 77 WABC. Geraldo here. Nice to see you, New York. How you all doing? Along with Noam Layden. And our main topic has been my outrage
although I'm not, it's not that I'm outraged by this new Indiana law. It is that I am disappointed that it is exactly what I worry about being a Republican and having a shot at the White House in 2016. And the Republicans need to get to business, the business of running the country, not about imposing their social morality on someone else. It's not about, it should not be about gay marriage. It should not be about a woman's right to choose. I mean, they are substantive issues that we have to talk about. And this Indiana law that allows people, if they claim some religious objection, to refuse to give their services to gay people in the state of Indiana. And, you know, the NCAA, they released a statement. The National Office of the NCAA and our members deeply committed to providing an inclusive environment for all our events. We're especially concerned about how this legislation, the Indiana legislation, could affect our student athletes and employees. We will work diligently to assure student athletes competing in and visitors attending next week's men's Final Four in Indianapolis are not impacted negatively by this bill. So imagine if you have a, what if you have a, you have Jason Collins, right? He's a openly gay pro athlete. He's a commentator now for Yahoo Sports. So he goes, what if he wants to go to a bakery and get a wedding? He wants to get married or engaged, and they're not going to serve Jason Collins because he's gay.
Yeah, he's recognizably gay. People know who he is.
I think that this is, if Jeb Bush is the only person who can save the Republican Party from committing Harry Caray in 2016 with, you know, people trying to, you know, to couch this in religious freedom terms. I mean, that is obscene to me that you use religious freedom to deny services to someone because you don't like their sexual preference. I'm not into it. All right, this big news, I'm going to get back to that, and I promise I'll get back to your phone calls, but we have been tracking this very dramatic scene at Fort Meade, the sprawling headquarters in Maryland, and just outside the District of Columbia, of the National Security Agency, super secret. So you have two men, Fox News is reporting, disguised as women, trying to enter this facility. They get in an argument with the guard at the front gate of the NSA headquarters there in Fort Meade, Maryland. The guard shoots and kills at least one of the people. The other person probably wounded, both taken to a hospital where either the one died and the other is being treated for his injuries. Two men dressed as women, if that's true. What the hell's going on? He was supposed to come on at the bottom of the hour to talk about his big new hit book, From Jailer to Jailed, My Journey from Correction and Police Commissioner to Inmate 8488-054. My dear friend, former Commissioner Bernard Kerrick. So, Commish, first, before we talk about anything else, what do you make of this? First of all, what would be the, are these terrorists trying to blow up something at the NSA?
Well, I think it's premature, and I don't know if they were trying to blow up anything, because from what we see so far, there's a gun and drugs located in the assailant's car. But there were shots, NBC's reporting, there were shots between the authorities and them that rang out. I don't get the whole dressed up like women thing, you know. I don't know what they were trying to do.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking like it was like Fort Dix or even like Fort Hamilton here in Brooklyn. You have a kind of a casual gate where they just wave most people by because there's so many civilian workers and so many contractors that they generally, and particularly maybe these assailants, if this story is true that Fox News is reporting, and they're pretty good. Jennifer Griffin, our Pentagon reporter there, is pretty impeccable in her reporting. Maybe they dressed as women just to get that casual nod egress.
It could be. And usually what they have is they have the casual gate and they have a set of barriers in the event of an emergency that goes up. It looks like one of the police cars rammed their vehicle from the looks of the photos that I'm looking at. And there were shots fired, one dead. I think it's premature to speculate, but it's going to be interesting to find out what they were doing, what they were attempting to do.
Well, obviously, it wasn't a stick-up, so it wasn't a crime, so it has to be terrorism.
You're not going
to
rob the TSA, no.
Yeah.
No.
All right, so we'll continue to track that, obviously, the NSA. As long as you're here, Bernie, let's talk about the book early.
And I'm going to get back to your calls on the Indiana law, but Bernie's new book comes out when? This week, right?
Tonight, midnight.
Tonight at midnight. It's called From Jailer to Jailed. I've read it. It is unbelievable. I live part of this with the Carrick family as the commissioner went down, in flames thanks to a judge that was just hated Rudy Giuliani and hated Giuliani time and hated Bernie for what he did in terms of policing this city. Just had a real attitude.
And Noam, I have to cut in here for a second. You know, I went to his house on a Saturday and I dropped off the book. I went to drop the book off.
Right.
And he was in the middle of working out. And he made me basically sit there while he read through about seven chapters. I was like, dude, I got to go. I got to get out of here.
Are you critiquing the book?
It was so fascinating. I was, yeah, I was. And I said, oh, I remember that. Oh, that's well said. Oh, well done. But, I mean, you totally.
Did he ask you how come you didn't mention him in the book?
He did.
No, he is.
Oh, he did. Okay, that's good. But the main theme of the book isn't how you got screwed by the federal judiciary, but rather the penal system. And for example, being held in solitary confinement at Metropolitan Correction downtown, a very hard place for a hard time. Solitary confinement. And ironic is I just did this Fox News special report on Scott Peterson, who murdered his pregnant wife and his 8-month gestated unborn son. And he's on death row, but he's living a life of Riley. The doors are open. He gets the guitar, music, plays basketball with the other inmates. He has free ingress, egress, as long as he obviously can't leave the facilities in prison, but it's like a country club. Compare that to the former police commissioner, former corrections commissioner in solitary confinement downtown. And what was the offense that you were in solitary confinement for?
They said it was protective custody. But look, at the end of the day, There's a
tell me who your roommates were. I mean, your suite mates there that you got to see through the
well,
glass.
Well, I was in a 12x8 cell by myself, a solid steel cell. But the guy next to me was an Afghan being held on terror charges. There was a Somali being held on terror charges. The head of the Latin Kings who killed a bunch of people, and the guy next to me killed like every witness in his case. And then I was stuck in the middle of these guys. So it was. It wasn't a nice neighborhood. And look, there's a use for solitary confinement. You know, if you're a threat to national security, if you're a threat to an institution or to staff, I get it and I agree with it. I've done this before. But to hold people for protective custody, administrative segregation, institutional infractions, it is a mind-altering experience. It is the absolute image of cruel and unusual punishment by the standards of law that our Constitution was founded on. And why the American government continues to do this, I have no idea.
Now, one of the things that I noticed about you, knowing you before, during, and after, is you came out unscathed. What saved you from becoming crazy?
Well, one thing specifically, I mean, I was only in there 60 days. 60 days I was in solitary in MCC. But I will tell you, in that 60-day period, I was hallucinating. I was talking to myself. You ramble. You cannot believe what happens to the human mind in a circumstance like this. And think, in Louisiana, there are guys on solitary confinement for 20 years. What do you do with those people? What do you do with them? When you think that 90 to 95% of the population that's in prison is going to get out and go home, do I actually want those guys back in society? Wouldn't they be better served by giving them life improvement skills or educating them? Unless they're some major threat to an institution or to staff, I don't know what we're doing.
You know, we love... I absolutely agree with that. We love Rudy Giuliani around here. But there was a time during your situation where I adopted your feeling about Rudy, how he broke your heart. He broke your children's heart. He's the godfather to at least one of your daughters, right? Celine,
no,
is it?
Celine and Angelina.
Hey, but both of them.
Both of them.
And Rudy let you down. We'll talk about that when we come back. And then I promise, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to swing back to your topic. And the president is expected to speak from the Teddy Kennedy, what is it, like a museum up there? What is that?
The Kennedy, is he in Massachusetts? Is that
yeah,
where he is?
Yeah, he's at
the Kennedy Library, I guess, right?
It's the new place where they're honoring Senate.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
Well, I don't want you to know what I'm talking about. I want you to report what I'm talking
about. I'm going
to
go find out.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
From Jailer to Jailed is the new book, the new hit book, bestseller for sure, My Journey from Correction and Police Commissioner to Inmate 8488-054. My guest, the former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik. Bernie's very involved now in a group called the American Coalition for Criminal Justice Reform that wants to reduce the prison population by good time incentives, alternatives to incarceration, recidivism, reducing education, vocation, life improvement programs, modernize the penal system, get accountability in there, restore basic constitutional rights so you don't put someone in solitary confinement for so-called protective custody. A couple of things. You were behind bars for over 3 years. Did anyone ever go after you because you were commissioner? Anyone that you had taken down as a cop?
Anything like that?
Any incidents like that?
No.
So you did they? How did they treat you?
Yeah, like everybody else, you're one of the guys. You know, it's no rank. Everybody's the same.
So how badly did Rudy Giuliani? I teased this before the break. How badly did he break your heart, or how badly did he disrupt your family?
Look, we were very close. Obviously, we had been through a lot together. I worked for him for a long time. And I was extremely loyal to him. And, I get the whole distance thing. We created distance when the investigation started. I get it. I understand it. The political ramifications. I understand that. My concern, my disappointment came when I was sent away. He's the godfather to both of my children. Not a phone call. Not a Christmas card. Not a birthday card. You know, no calls to my wife to see. How are the kids? Are you okay?
And yet Ray Kelly, the commissioner, was so nice to Hallie, your wife.
I got to put this out there. Ray Kelly and I have never been close. He followed in my footsteps behind me. He was a PC when I was a detective, actually. He actually put the Medal of Valor on my neck in the 1990s. This guy called up and he took my kids to the Thanksgiving Day parade. He took them to the 4th of July. Every year for 3 years, he made sure that they were taken care of. And there were people that came forward to help me and my family. I didn't even know. And this was a man that I loved, admired, and I have an enormous amount of respect for him as far as leadership ability and what he did for this city. But, I don't understand it.
Why Rudy would just shun you the way he did.
You know what, Geraldo? It's not even about me. It's the kids.
I get you. Here's Jim in New Jersey. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Geraldo. I just want to say what was done to Bernie, I really feel bad for him. He was a good guy. They should have just cut him a break and let him go. But what I got to say to Bernie is I worked in a jail for 29 years in Newark, and solitary confinement is one of the only tools a correctional officer has at his disposal, and you can't even put a guy on knock-off or lock-up without going. He's got to have a trial,
a little hearing
in the whole bit. So if you take that away from us, you're going to make the jails a lot worse.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not saying take it away. But the people that go to solitary confinement, and I ran Rikers for 6 years, the people that go to solitary confinement, there has to be a reason to put them there. I did not deserve solitary confinement, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are placed in solitary that don't deserve to be there and don't need to be there. That's the problem. If they need to be there and there's a justification for it, that's fine. I agree with it. But we use it as administrative segregation. We use it as protective custody. We use it for
convenience.
And punishment.
Well, punishment, that's what the correction officer is saying, that you need a way to punish recalcitrant or
You punish those people that deserve it. That's the problem.
Well, with a hearing.
Right.
You got to give them a hearing.
So what happened to Rikers? Did Rikers go to hell in a handbasket? What happened?
It has, you know, they have 10 or 12,000 less prisoners than I had in 2000 when I left. Violence is out of control. It's completely
mismanaged. Who's to blame for that?
Honestly, the Bloomberg administration sort of, you know, dropped the ball big time. And, you know, you have a guy in there now, Joe Pont, I think his name is. He's been there about 6 months. He's trying to bring it back. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
What do you think of de Blasio and Bratton?
I love Bratton.
So Bratton's doing okay?
Bratton, you know, he's doing what he has to do.
And de Blasio?
I love Bratton.
The book From Jailer to Jailed. After Noam's news, you'll hear from the President of the United States. I'll take your calls also.
On the air, online, and on iHeart.com. We are 77 WABC.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story. For New York, live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
38 minutes after 11 o'clock, I'm Geraldo, along with Noam Layden. You are listening to the legendary 77 WABC. We've had a busy morning talking about this lame law in Indiana, which goes far beyond anything we've seen. I think South Carolina tried something equally lame. They may be the only other state. But it asserts a right to the free exercise of religion that it creates is the ability of someone claiming religious reasoning to discriminate based on sexual orientation. I mean, it is really, it's a lame law. I don't think it will stand up on appeal. But in the meantime, it's totally disrupted the build up to the Final Four. What a great tournament it has been, the basketball tournament. But the finals, as you know, heading toward Indianapolis, beginning, I guess, Saturday is the first game. Is that right now?
I think it's Saturday.
So Saturday, yeah. So you have Kentucky will play Wisconsin, Michigan State will play Duke, and then Monday night is the final for the championship. I predicted Arizona against Duke. now I don't know who I favor now. They're all so powerful. I guess Wisconsin, if Erica's listening. She's of course the Badger, and that's but I'm rambling. I don't want the focus to be off what the governor in Indiana has done. Mike Pence has created real problems for the state GOP. He's created real problems for businesses in and around Indianapolis. This Final Four is going to be affected. There's going to be demonstrations. It's going to mess up, what should have been it's one of the best tournaments I've ever seen in any sport. There's never been more close games, very hard fought, everybody trying so hard. When you compare these teams to what the Knicks have done, for example, the lazy, loungy, trotty Carmelo Anthony, you see what these kids diving and running and shooting and crying and laughing and jumping. It really reaffirms everything about big-time college athletes. It really is something. And to have this all mucked up with an anti-gay law being passed is just stupid. We spoke earlier with Commissioner Bernard Kerik from Jailer to Jailed is his new book. Here's Joe from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
How you doing? This really heartens me. I'm almost tearing out hearing Bernard Kerik's story. Rudy should really be ashamed of himself. And Bernie, he should hang in there. By the end of the day, Bernie, what you really need to do is just hand me your underwear, give me a deep knee bend and cough.
I'm not positive if that was a prank.
No, or that was either
sincere advice, but the first part of it was all right anyway. From Oyster Bay, thank you, John, for your patience. Thanks for calling 866-ROLL. What's on your mind, buddy? Hello, John, you there? No, John. Hey, what? Here, Jeff.
Hello?
Hey, Jeff, you're on. What's up, man?
Oh, hi, this is Jeff from Franklin Lakes. I lived around the corner from Bernie at the time. In a little rental house that my wife and I had, and I just wanted to apologize. We had a daughter who was the same age as one of Bernie's daughters, and I used to say to my wife, "Well, we got to go knock on the door for Bernie's wife," and because I knew Bernie in passing for the St. Regis Hotel, I worked there. And I just wanted to apologize. We never actually went over. My wife was a little shy. She said, oh, they won't. We're nobody around here. There's big shots around here. But
You should have gone over. I think he would have appreciated it.
Exactly.
They were so bereft. And, you know, it was interesting to me, Jeff, and I appreciate your call. Bernie has left the building, by the way. The people who backed Bernie and the people who shunned Bernie is interesting. I mean, I don't need to name names. He points out Mayor Giuliani because Mayor Giuliani was the godfather of both his daughters, and he kind of shunned Bernie. But he was also running for president, so you can understand how, you know, that desire not to get sucked into Bernie's problem.
Well, publicly, but behind the scenes, you could have made that phone call.
I agree. And I Rudy and I had some tension, and then I decided to forgive him. I'm not sure Bernie has gotten there yet, but Bernie seems very calm about these things. He's pointing out the truth, and he's telling the truth. And, you know, he went after Bernie did Joe Tacopina, who was his lawyer, the prominent, flamboyant lawyer who we believe, Bernie and I believe, sold Bernie down the river to get a deal himself so he wouldn't be implicated criminally himself in some of the mess that was going on. But it was, it was such a stupid crime. What did he get, a renovation of his apartment, a chump change? It was just stupid what Bernie did. But to go down so heavy for it, I mean, there are people that commit, you know, manslaughter that don't do 3.5 years.
Well, you hear who his neighbors were when he was in solitary. Really? He's like, he should never have been in solitary.
Really? It was just like ridiculous. Here's John on Long Island now. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, Geraldo. How you doing today, buddy? Listen, I was just telling you, you're a screener there. I'm conservative, Republican. I'm also a Catholic. But I look at it like Pope Francis would look at it. You know, the basic tenets, the teachings of Jesus and the church are you love the sinner, you don't love the sin. You don't shun someone because of their lifestyle. You don't shun them because you don't agree with something. You love them, you take them in, you know, and that's just the way Jesus was, and that's the way it should be.
And isn't Pope Francis like the best pope?
I love the guy.
I love him too. I really love him, and it's not just because he's Latin American. I mean, I really love him. He is so compassionate, so understanding, so humble in so many ways, so smart, down to earth. I'm telling you, he's going to bring about a huge renaissance in the Catholic faith. He says he's only got a couple of years on the job. I hope he makes it a lot longer than that because I really am enjoying his tenure as the Holy Father. But, John, I appreciate your call. Thanks. Here's another John. What's up, John? What's up?
I'm on the job right now, and this thing is really tearing me apart. You know, Bernie should just do his time in parole and then go get a job at McDonald's.
But why are you so mean-spirited? Why?
Bernie's a crook. Everybody know Bernie.
So you never did anything wrong in your life, John?
Oh, never at all.
Never? You've been like straight as an arrow.
Bernie is a crook. Everybody knows Bernie's a crook.
And you don't forgive the sinner?
Why should I forgive Bernie? Bernie.
Who are you anyway? Who are you? Who are you?
I'm a cop.
You're a cop on the job now?
I'm on a job. I'm at the First Precinct downtown in Chinatown. I know Bernie Curry personally.
And how do you know him?
I know him because he's the guy who passed me the peanut butter sandwich in the next cell when we was upstate.
So you're a cop that was in prison? I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
What was he in prison for?
I don't know, passing peanut butter sandwiches. I don't know. Here's another John in New York. What's up, John?
Yes, hi, Geraldo. Regarding this Indiana law, I think I have a suggestion that could possibly mitigate this whole conflict.
Let's hear it.
I think if a couple goes into a florist or a baker's and tries to engage them for their wedding, the proprietor should say, I will do this service for you, but I don't agree with what you're doing, and then see if the couple still wants them to service them.
I think that may be a little dicey, but I mean, I like, John, in principle, like if you had a sign that we're a religious family who believes in traditional marriage, you could put that sign on the wall. I don't see if there's anything wrong with that. That's your right. You have freedom of expression. You put the sign on the wall, but you still have to serve the person. I mean, as long as you're not surly and you treat everyone the same, I have no particular problem with that. I mean, I think that it's a slippery slope. We use that expression. Like you couldn't put a sign on the wall that said, I'm a white supremacist. But I serve everybody because the law makes me. I'm not quite sure that would qualify as as someone following the spirit of the law. But Chris, what do you say?
Hey, Geraldo. Hey, you were saying that that you think that anybody has a right to be served by a business that
right. as long as they're following the law themselves, not unruly, they have the proper dress on. Yeah.
Yeah, or they shouldn't be, like, holding you up or something.
Right, yeah, right, exactly.
Right. Okay, so that reminds me, speaking of cakes, do you remember a couple of years ago there was a guy who named his son Adolf Hitler Jones?
I do remember
that. He was in New Jersey.
I do remember that, yeah.
And I think he went into a Walmart to the bakery, and he wanted them to make a cake that said, Happy Birthday, Adolf Hitler Jones.
But I think the difference is that's illegal. And Walmart was right to refuse him. What? Didn't they? Isn't that the way that case
should? They didn't make the cake for him.
They did not make the cake. But Chris, thanks for bringing it up. We'll check out the facts of it in the in this brief commercial intermission. Don't go away. 866 Geraldo. We'll be right back.
Live, local, on it. 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
All right. Here's the latest on that family, the Campbell family, that wanted to get the cake. With the inscribed for the birthday of their son named Adolf Hitler Campbell. They went first to the ShopRite to get a birthday cake made out to Adolf Hitler Campbell. The ShopRite refused. Then they got it in a Walmart. They got it successfully. A Walmart in Pennsylvania.
Woo!
So Walmart did it. Then Walmart was so criticized, they decided to reassess their freedom of hate
cake.
On
freedom
cakes.
Of cake.
The kids were taken away from them, if I'm not mistaken.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Even after that nice cake?
Yeah. Ron Kuby.
Oh, hey there, Geraldo.
Kuby's outraged. He's an excellent lawyer, and he knows his stuff. So what about the Indiana law and freedom of religion? And how is this different from Obamacare, where they were forcing Catholic institutions to give birth control to
their
employees?
Weren't, actually. That's one of the reasons it's different from Obamacare. That, again, the fact that they were forced... No, Geraldo, I mean, you're perpetuating this Fox News trope. Yes, Obamacare is forcing bishops to hand out condoms! Actually,
I am in favor of Obamacare.
Okay, but I mean, that's not what Obamacare required.
So is Ted Cruz. He applied.
Yeah, I saw that. So look, basic principle is this. If you are a public accommodation, that is, you hold yourself as open to the public for business, you have to serve the people that come in unless they fail to comply with a non-discriminatory code. For example, no shirt, no shoes, no service. That's perfectly fine. Homosexuals, interreligious marriages, interracial marriages. Not okay.
So is it fair to assume that a federal appellate court in Indiana would find the Indiana statute unconstitutional?
Yeah, and I think pretty much everybody's counting on it. These statutes are made
largely... So why
did they
write them?
Because it appeals to the red meat of the Republican base. It always does. They engage in this activity. Why did they try to repeal Obamacare, 55 times? Because it gives them a sense of purpose. They're standing up for the religious rights of the beleaguered white Christians all over America, and those evil unelected judges are striking at the heart of God in the public square. Where will it end? That's what. You want me to do it on a Mark Levin voice? I can do it on a Mark Levin
not
voice.
Just yet.
I mean, that's all.
Not
this
just
is
yet.
Just
but one of the things, I think that senators engaged in trying to repeal Obamacare for the 55th or sixth time masturbated a lot as children. I think that really is. I bet you would find
let's check
a 100% correlation. But the problem with it is, as a Republican, the problem with these laws, given the fact that it is probably unconstitutional or it would ultimately be found that, is that it affects the party's chances. Why go through the motions if it doesn't comply with the law? Didn't they know in Indiana that they were drafting a law that would generate this kind of controversy and probably be reversed on appeal?
Yes, and they did so knowing full well that that was going to happen.
So you attribute that pure political motive to it, not a religious motive.
And I, look, do
but
I
what
think
if a religious governor doesn't want to serve a gay person?
Okay, well, then you should stop being in the business of serving whatever it is you're serving. For the same reason, I don't, you know, most Jews and Gentiles don't believe in interreligious marriages. Do you have to pull out your marriage certificate before you get yourself a freaking cheeseburger? Because, you know, the proprietor doesn't believe in Jew and Gentile marrying. You have to show your penis to prove that, in fact, you are Jewish. And does that even do it? Really? Is that what we want to be doing?
I don't want you or Curtis whipping it out. I mean, you talk about it a lot.
I figured it was safe on your show. I mean, I don't take selfies. Sorry.
Kubi and Curtis. Curtis and Kubi. They follow us right here on 77 WABC. Great to be back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed
the show.
Yeah,
welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. Missed you, too, but I ain't going nowhere for a while, so you have me to kick around tomorrow. Thanks.